Hello, everybody. Stu Smith here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today I'm coming at you by myself, but I received a great email request from a high school kid who is doing a report and asked for an interview. And he sent me 12 questions. So, and all these 12 questions are on mental toughness. So first of all, I'm going to answer all 12 of those questions on this video. And they're great questions. Well done, I have to say. But I'm also going to say I'm flattered that you would even ask me. I mean, yes, you know, being a former SEAL, Spec Ops candidate and athlete all my life, I might have a little idea of what it is. But you don't have to do any of that to have mental toughness. Just being a human, you can engage mental toughness. For instance, how many of you know cancer patients that still work, or maybe a six-year-old kid who has cancer, but every room that he walks into or her walk into, they light up the room with their smile? I mean, that is a great example of a kid having mental toughness and didn't learn it anywhere, just has it. How about the single mom who works two jobs, put food on table for her kids? You name it. The athlete who breaks records and does it with injuries and other ailments and colds, and you know, you could go on forever thinking of all the examples of great stories of people exhibiting mental toughness. And so I just want to start it off by saying that, because it is not just because someone went special ops. That is one way to do it. It is not the way to do it. So let me share with you my screen for a second and show you the 12 questions about mental toughness in the Tactical Fitness Report podcast. So I'm going to start off with question one. And question one is, how would you define mental toughness? So, you know, this is a tough one to define. A lot of people are out there writing books on it. You know, I've written several articles on mental toughness. And it's difficult to define in a few words. Because there's so many ways to experience it and to build it and to engage it naturally. But let me start it off by saying this. I heard a quote a long time ago, and I've used it many times in my writings. And mental toughness defined in a sentence is finding the fuel when the tank is empty. And if you think about that, that is a very great way to define it, because it's so open to interpretation, because that's what it is. I mean, many people engage it different ways, but that is how I would define it. Finding the fuel when the tank is empty. And to be honest with you, it is hard to practice mental toughness, but you can do it every single day. A good way to do that would be you wake up every single morning and there is a moment when you just don't want to get out of bed, probably because you're at your most comfortable state that you've ever been in. And, you know, hitting the snooze on that alarm or turning the alarm off and getting up is a decision you can make. And you can either stay in bed or you can get up. That is a way of gradually building mental toughness day after day after day. And that has to become a habit. And that habit is engaged by discipline. So your initial motivation for whatever goal that you want to do has to evolve into discipline by you building those good habits. So that is how you build it over time. And there, I guess you could also say mental toughness is also a survival skill that we have ingrained in all of us, because we will do unbelievable things just to survive, whether that is lift a car off a kid, it's, crawl, 2 miles with broken legs to get to someone for help, to cut off your own arm because it's stuck under a rock. Probably heard of that story. There's some crazy things we do out there just to survive. And I've always said there's a fine line between mental toughness and stupid. But if you're alive the next day, it's not stupid, right? So think about it as that way. Now, when you're training, you can hurt yourself and be out for 2 months and you can't do something for 2 months, can't run for 2 months because you broke your legs. I mean, that's when mental toughness goes a little bit too far, but you also don't know where that line is. And, the more you push yourself to that line, the better you get at knowing where that line is before you actually injure yourself for long-term or for the rest of your life even. So, all right, let's go with the next question. All right, so do you believe that sports help to cultivate mental toughness? In what ways? Yes, I grew up playing all the sports I could think of. I mean, everything from kickball at the school grounds, soccer, basketball, wrestling, then in high school, football, baseball, wrestling. Then later on, we had a powerlifting team instead of during wrestling season. So I said, you know what? I'd much rather get a letter lifting weights than wrestling. So I did that. And then wound up powerlifting my way out of baseball and just threw shot put for a track. So I bounce around through all types of different sports. So yes, I definitely think you can build mental toughness if you don't have it engaging you daily because of your situation. Then you can build it through sports. I mean, think about the kids who live on a farm. I had kids in my high school that would wake up early, work on a farm, drive 30 miles just to get to high school because we had one high school in the whole county. And then they would go back, work on the farm after school. That was their thing. And they were tough, tough guys. And we had guys at Bud's that never lifted a weight in their life. They worked in, North Carolina baling hay their whole life, working on farms. They were tough. I mean, they worked their way into being tough. And, I think the best way for me to engage mental toughness and for me to teach mental toughness and what I do is through physical activity. So we do it through workouts, we do it through early morning workouts, we do it through later in the afternoon workouts. But I also tell folks, don't go take a nap just because you can. Go find a job, a manual labor job, and then add all that into it, right? So now you're trying to get a workout in, you have manual labor job on your feet for the next 8 to 10 hours, and then you do it again and do it again. Those are ways to build mental toughness through activity. All right, so let's see what's next. Next question. Consider your childhood. Would you describe yourself as an active child? What sports or hobbies did you do? So kind of answered that question already. But let's say before sports really came into play. Yes, I was all over the place. We did outdoor activities all the time. We fished, we hunted, we, just played sports. Whatever season it was, we were playing a sport of that season with just neighborhood kids. We spent all day basically, there was a lot that didn't have a house on it. So we would mow it and make a baseball field out of it and we played baseball and kickball on it for hours, never stopped. Trampolines, swimming pools, you know, scuba diving. I was scuba diving at an early age, probably like 12 years old. I started scuba diving. So I always had a love of water. But yeah, I would say I was very active as a kid, probably overactive. If I'd have been born later, like in the 90s at that age, I probably would have been on some kind of ADHD medication. I was ADHD probably before they had ADHD. Not that I have a problem with attention, but I was just all over the place. I mean, getting me to sit still is still difficult, you know, even at 50. So, yes, I was a very active child. Let me see if I answered all that one correctly. So, hobbies, yeah, sports, hobbies, they were all active. Like I said, getting me to sit still at all was a chore for my parents. All right, let's see. What's next? What sport do you think requires the most mental toughness? Whew, now that's a good one, because I know I'm going to piss somebody off with this answer. You know, for me, I'm just going to give you my experiences. For me, they all helped with some form of toughness. So with bumps and bruises and sprains and playing with pain, football and rugby, 100%. Because there was never a day you went to practice that something didn't hurt. You know, you had a bruise, you just sucked it up. You had a sprained wrist, you sucked it up. You had jammed finger, you just taped it to the other finger and you sucked it up. So I think for learning how to play with pain, that was really good. Learning how to play with discomfort. Growing up in Florida, it was always hot. Football was hot. Putting on a pair of wet pads the second time in a day of two-a-days, that kind of sucked. Playing baseball, I was a catcher. So catching spring and summer in Florida with all the gear on, that kind of sucked. It was always sweaty and nasty. You start learning how to get comfortable being uncomfortable with those activities. Wrestling, you're always funky when you're wrestling. You're sweaty, you're nasty, you're exhausted. Probably, you know, that form of combative activity is really good to building mental toughness, because it's just you and another guy fighting it out, and to the point where you just can't even move afterwards. I mean, that's some serious mental toughness there. Anytime you're doing personal records on lifts and speed and mile times, you know, all those have to engage some form of mental toughness. And swimming, I tell you what, swimming first thing in the morning, I mean, that's the last thing you want to do at 5:30 a.m. is get wet, you know, and jump into a cold pool. You know, so all of those little things, piece by piece by piece, you know, month after month, year after year, build a certain amount of mental toughness and resiliency to just endure and keep moving. That's a great question. Really is. These are great. Like I said, I'm excited to do this. So let's see what's next question. Okay, when you were in high school, what kind of mental strategies did you employ to handle adverse situations? Good one. To be honest with you, I don't know. There were a couple of times back in my day, back in the 80s, early 80s, when I was a young teenager, we had little cassette tapes. You know, probably not much different than your iPhone now, but we had a little cassette tape and you could push record and play on it and record a message. That message could be yourself. You could set it next to a speaker of a radio, record your song. That's how we recorded music back then. But I would record a message and say something like, hey, get your butt up, time to go run, or time to go swim, you know, time to go to school, whatever that was. And that was kind of a fun little technique, so to speak, of just hearing myself say that and kind of getting myself back into that state of when I said it. So instead of sitting there being comfortable and just wanting to go back to sleep and hitting snooze, I hit play and it was me yelling at myself. So I would say that was number one for me as far as employing some kind of strategy to help me push through some common barriers. But other ones are just working hard, you know, at practice, preparing myself for the season, you know, with hours of workouts, days of working manual labor jobs in the summer. You know, we used to work in a watermelon patch when I was a kid, and I swear that made our whole football team better because about half of us all worked in pitching watermelons in the summer. And then we go lift weights afterwards and go run and get ready for football season. So, yeah, we just kept moving. You know, I think one of the biggest problems for most people is they quit moving. So you have to keep moving. You know, in order to never quit, you have to keep moving in some way. Now, obviously, you need to rest and sleep and eat and do all those right things for recovery. But when you have a choice, it's time to get moving. So hope that answers that. I'll read it again to make sure. So what kind of mental strategies did you employ to handle adverse situations? Yeah, I think we answered that one. I will say this, you know, for academics, I had to be alone and quiet, no music playing, nothing else going on. And I had to focus, you know, especially to make good grades, I had to focus. And I was fortunate enough to where I could listen in class and get most of it. And then I just have to fine tune it with a little bit of studying. And then when I went to Naval Academy, that blew up in my face because I needed to put in probably another 3 or 4 hours a night of studying versus maybe an hour in high school. So I had to up my game a little bit. What is easier to focus on, physical or mental challenges? Good segue. When you were in high school, for me, physical. I've always been, like I said, a physical person. I would say for me, physical effort, labor, activity is my catalyst to getting more mentally tough, because you can push it, whatever that is, and not force yourself not to quit or just start when you're really comfortable. All those little parts of training help you engage mental toughness every single day. And it gets better every single day the more you do it. The mental strategies, you know, it took a while for me to learn mental strategies for, especially for academics. I had to learn how to study. You know, I think there was a program back in the 80s called When There's a Will, There's an A. And that made a lot of sense to me because I really wanted to do well in school. And then once I learned how to study, that helped. And there were some little strategies in there from, doing like when it's study time, instead of wearing your watch, you take off your watch. So it's just a cue to kind of get you into study mode. And then when you took a test, you took off your watch. You know, it was a cue to get you into that mindset of I am gauging my mental efforts here. Everything I studied, I'm going to put it on this test. You know, just little things like that. So there's something in, you know, performance and sports performance psychology called performance cues. I've written about it several times. I'll put links into the below for that. But that's a good one too, to kind of understand what a performance cue is. All right. So let's see what's next. Next question. I think we're on question 7, so we're over halfway done. What was an experience that you had that encouraged you to become a SEAL? Good question. I was always kind of driven towards that. You know, I had mask and fins when I was 6 years old, 7 years old, and swimming and, you know, doing fun stuff. I started scuba diving at age 12. There was always this love of water. You know, in Florida, in our neighborhood, we had a bunch of kids that had pools. So we were always swimming in those. I mean, I never did a competitive swim team, you know, just because it didn't match up with other sports I like to do. Wish I would have, in hindsight, probably would have made the journey into becoming a better Spec Ops candidate a little easier. But I really didn't even think about being a SEAL until I was at the Naval Academy. I went to the Naval Academy to, one, I knew I wanted to serve and be in the Navy or Marine Corps at the time, but I knew I wanted to be a pilot when I was 18. I also wanted to play football for Navy, and I was recruited for football by Navy. So I guess that goes to show you how much I really knew about myself at 18 years old and what I really wanted to do. Because I changed my mind and went on to, you know, doing the SEAL training program that they have at the academy. I did wind up playing rugby instead of football. And there were always people on the team that went on to go to Buds and make it. And so guys that were 2 and 3 years older than me, you know, I would see their journey and they would come back and, you know, tell us about what they're doing. And so I think that was my first sign of what kind of people they were that went on to do that job. And I really respected them. They were great teammates, great people. They were loving what they were doing. And so I was like, yeah, this kind of makes a lot of sense. I love the water. You know, I could get better at running. You know, I'm pretty strong already. So it seemed like a natural fit. And then we had 4 guys on our rugby team my year that all wanted to go to Buds, and we all went to Buds and we all made it. And so we would train together. And I think that was probably about end of sophomore year, probably we really started focusing on that goal. And there wasn't really one event other than just seeing the people. I met my first SEAL when I was at the Naval Academy. Highly respected all of them. And it just seemed like something I wanted to challenge myself and do. And I decided not to become a pilot, not to become a Marine pilot, and to challenge myself with the SEAL process. And that took a long time because, like I said, I was going there to play football. So I was strong, but my endurance was weak. And I started playing rugby, which helped. And then I started preparing by training for triathlons, which helped. And then eventually was able to be a contender and be in that zone. So that's what it was. I guess the biggest thing for me is I saw it as something that wasn't impossible because I knew dozens of people before me that went on to become SEALs. I think that's a big help that doesn't necessarily make you more mentally tough. It's just one of those things that you have to see it to believe it type of mentality, and it works. You know, if you come from a family of special operators, it's probably not that big of a deal for you, or it's not that much of an impossibility. You know, people hear about it, you know, who come from middle of nowhere, never met anybody in the Navy before, never even saw the ocean before. And then they're at Buds. The impossibility is still there. I just knew I had to endure it. It was still going to be hard, but nothing was impossible. That makes sense. So it kind of reduced my need to engage mental toughness. And so did a high fitness level. That helps too. So let's see what's up next. All right. But yeah, I would say the people encouraged me to become a SEAL. That's a good question. What personality traits do you have that you think made you fit to be a SEAL? That's a tough one. I will say team player, able to play with pain, able to get comfortable being uncomfortable. All of those little skills there were very important. I think the number one one was being a good team player, because you're not going to get through BUDS by yourself. You have a boat crew there that's with you. You have a class that's going through everything together. All of those things, like iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. That is a very true Bible verse in the Bible. It's a very true statement, because you will make each other better. You will compete with each other to make each other better. I think that was probably when I came up with that idea of, you know, train to compete, not just survive. Because if you're thinking about winning versus thinking about just trying to survive and get through this minimum standard, buy on the minimum standard, that makes the journey really difficult. You know, if you're going in there thinking about winning, I promise you, you will never think about quitting. Now, you don't have to come first, but set a goal to be top 10%. Everything you do, because here's why. You know, when you send 100 people to BUDS and only 25 make it, in my mind, statistically looking at it, you need to be in that top 25%, period. And whether that is physical performance, academic performance, or just being a good team player and being able to suck it up, you need to be in that top 25% if you're going to make it through a selection program that has such a high attrition rate. So let me see if I answered that question well enough. Personality traits. So yeah, I think number one, most important, is the team player. Definitely. Good listener, not arrogant to the point of thinking you have all the answers. You need to rely on your teammates to come up with a solution to problems. Sometimes that's going to be the most senior person that has the solution, because he's been there, done that enough times. Sometimes it's going to be the one with the least amount of experience that has an idea that's out of the box that everybody's like, holy crap, that may just work. You need to be able to address those and help out in those type of situations. So yeah, that's a really good question. So I hope that answers it. Okay, next question. To what extent do you think people that are in good physical shape but have never been an athlete or part of a team can compete in BUDS? I think you knew what I was going to say when you asked that question after me answering the previous question. I've seen it. I've seen it a lot. I've seen it with people that are just hard-nosed, whether it was the kid from North Carolina who worked on a hay farm all his life, never lifted a weight, but could do 30 pull-ups and could run an 18-minute, 3-mile run. Ridiculous. Could be the skate rat, the surfer. You know, definitely used to cold water, not a problem. Swimming issues, not a problem. You know, I've seen a couple of guys that, you know, made it through that didn't play a sport in single sport in high school. Probably last sport they played was Little League baseball in eighth grade. Still made it through. They were more of the skate rat type of kid. Just loved to skateboard. Nothing wrong with that either. And just because you're not on a team doesn't necessarily mean you're not a team player. You know, you're a team player with your family. You know, I've seen some kids who couldn't afford sports, but they worked to help their family survive and pay the mortgage and eat food. I mean, that's a big team member right there. So there are many, many ways to be a team member. Some of the best teams I've ever seen in high school are actually the band. You think about what a band has to do 20 different people playing 20 different musical instruments all put together to make a song. I mean, that is a successful group of people achieving a mission. Same way for kids in theater. You know, they put together a show, bunch of different people learn a whole bunch of different lines. You got the backstage crew and everybody working together to be a team to get the show done. That's another way to be a team. There are many ways to be a team. You know, it doesn't have to be athletics, though it is very helpful to have a solid foundation of some form of activity, physical activity under your belt. Otherwise, you just don't have the platform available, and you're going to have to engage mental toughness right from the start, and your body will probably break versus having the durability needed when you do have to engage mental toughness. So yeah, it's great to be mentally tough, but you also have to have a durable body that can handle some of the work loads that you're going to put it through as well. Great question, man. These are good. Like I said, I read through these and I thought, man, these are awesome. So I'm going to make a video for you. All right. So when you were going through BUDS, do you think being a former athlete helped you persevere? Yes, I do. 100%. I can think of days when our football practices would go longer. We would be doing burpees for a very long period of time. We'd be doing hill sprints and extra sprints and just typical football punishment drills for being stupid. And we do play after play after play and repetition, and not until you got it right, but until you didn't get it wrong. And I think that is something that you learn from the skills of sports and athletics, even arts, you know, ballet dancers. I mean, they get yelled at all the time for having a hand like this. It's supposed to be like this, or yeah, I don't really know, but constant negative feedback. You need to be able to handle negative feedback. So I would say this: when you go to BUDS, you're going to receive a ton of negative feedback. You may not get any good positive feedback from an instructor for quite some time. And you're going to be told that you're the worst student ever. And this is the next, you know, this next event is the hardest one ever. And no one ever finishes, you know, just to get in your head. You know, how do you handle that kind of negative feedback, whether it's to you personally or to your class as a whole? And having gone through those experiences before, receiving constructive criticism or negative feedback, you actually come out a little harder on the other side of it. So you might think your math teacher is mean or your high school coach is mean, but in the end, you're actually going to be stronger because of it. So, man, good questions. Love these questions. What mental strategies did you employ to persevere through the most challenging training or assignments? How did you adopt these strategies? Well, I think, you know, the best way to answer that is kind of rehash some of what I just discussed. You know, I knew what hard work was. I knew what, you know, work, getting up at 6 a.m., working until the sunset, and then going to work out afterwards. I knew what that felt like. And to be honest, when I got to BUDS, it was one of those moments where, you know, went through a day of BUDS, which was hard, don't get me wrong. But I also, when the day was done, I didn't have homework to do, and I didn't have to go work out to prepare for BUDS. It was done. So when my day was done, it was done. I mean, I might have had to polish my boots or get my room clean, but that was easy. Yeah, so I think your preparation really builds you up. If you have a good, hard, consistent, challenging preparation and you build good habits of motivation and discipline, that when you get there, you're going to honestly say when the day's done, man, I can't believe I don't have homework. I don't have to go work out for the next 2 hours before dinner. I'm already done. Day's done. And that was a really neat moment. I think there are moments like that when you get to Buds and you realize, yeah, I got this. I can do this. And those are very powerful. So I think it all links back to your preparation, whether that is Bud's specific preparation or it is a lifelong journey of preparation for your athletics through daily life, through your family situation, through your work. All of those things put together make for a fantastic way to build all the resiliency that you need to persevere when times get tough. Damn, these are good questions. All right, I think this might be the last questions. So what did Bud teach you about your mental resilience and your ability to work under extreme pressure? Well, I will say this. Once I graduated Hell Week and finished Hell Week, I realized that there was nothing that I could have done to prepare myself for Hell Week. That was one of those things that, you know, up until that point, I had felt like, all right, this is pretty good. I got this. Not feeling like I'm beat down. I'm tired at the end of the day, but not exhausted and, you know, feel like I need to quit. The thought didn't even come into my head. But after Hell Week, I realized that your body is 10 times stronger than your brain will let it be. And let me go into that just for a little bit, because what that means is our brain is there to help us from hurting ourselves, from lifting too much, from running too far, from working too hard, from trying to push yourself through sleep. Our brain is there to say, stop, you're going to hurt yourself and you need to go to sleep or you need to rest. You need to stop. This is dangerous, right? Your brain is there for survival. And when you're able to disengage that part of the thinking brain that is telling you to stop, then if you can not listen to that, but then move the conversation the other way, and then you tell yourself to keep going versus listening to your brain say stop. I know there's a fine line between that whole process, but kind of bear with me. There's a quote I heard a while back ago is, don't listen to yourself, talk to yourself. And, you know, listening to that part of the brain that's saying you should stop, quit now, you're going to hurt yourself, or do you say, talk to yourself in a positive manner to just keep going? So yeah, I guess you could talk to yourself negatively and get in your own head. But what I'm saying here is that you have to realize that your brain is there to keep you alive. Disengaging that from time to time will enable you to do incredible things, whether that is stay up for 2 days working, or it is, you know, getting through Hell Week, it is doing incredible things, whether you're in combat or you're in business, you know, whatever that is, your future abilities are enhanced by being able to push yourself that way. And I think there are many people out there that do a great job at discussing that and pushing themselves to great levels. I mean, just look at any athlete, look at, former spec ops guys that are doing crazy runs and triathlons and, you know, ultra events. I mean, those things are incredible and so hard on your body, but you're able to just keep moving and keep pushing yourself. I mean, they have the ability to disengage that thinking part of the brain that says you need to stop. And I think that is a very healthy thing to have. I also think, you can hurt yourself too. I mean, that's why it's there. It's there so you don't hurt yourself. I think every human on Earth's body is 10 times stronger than its brain will let it be. And there's many stories that can prove that. That I think it's all 12 questions. So I hope you enjoyed this. I hope I didn't drag it out for too long. It is a very difficult discussion to have. I mean, some people like Jocko likes to say, you want to be more mental tough, just get tougher. And he's not wrong with that. You have to get tougher every single day of your life to get tougher. And it comes in by increments. You're not going to do it overnight by watching this video. You're not going to do it overnight by looking at some poster that's highly motivational, right? Or watching a movie. Those aren't things that make you mentally tough. They may motivate you. They may inspire you. But in the end, your motivation has to build great habits, and then one day you're not going to be motivated, but you still do it anyway. And your motivation has evolved into discipline. And that discipline is going to get you through and help you engage mental toughness much better. You can't do it on motivation alone. Promise you. Promise you that. So there you go. That's my 2 cents on the 12 questions of mental toughness. I want to thank the young man who sent me these questions. They are excellent. And when you put in such effort in writing a nice letter requesting my answers, actually using punctuation and not using text language, which annoys the crap out of me, I will put more time into your questions with my answer, because you put in such time making them really good. So thank you for that. Everybody can learn from that. If you're asking for help, don't do it with an incomplete sentence and no punctuation and a paragraph of crap, right? Do it with a nice letter that says, please, thank you. There you go. That's one way to get what you want. So this is Stu Smith signing out for another Tactical Fitness Report. If you guys want to understand what I do more, you can go to Stu Smith Fitness. Check out the articles section. I got to sell a whole bunch of books over there too, but check out the article section. I've been really going to town on some of the articles in that section, in the blog section, for everything from swimming and running and PSTs, but also getting really in depth with some of the mental toughness side, as well as personal growth and all of that. So check those out and let me know what you think of them. But if I mentioned anything, I will put them in the description of this YouTube video, and let me know if there's something in there that I missed, and I will answer questions in the comment section below as well. So everybody, have a good day. Thank you again for your time. This is Stu Smith with Stu Smith Fitness. We'll see you later.